Okay, Rob, are you ready to talk about what you learned from Jocko Podcast number 5?
I'm always ready.
Okay, do you want to go first, or do you want me to start?
Kick it off.
It was actually interesting that he shared, a personal note that he was writing to somebody when he was in the military on how to, correct the behavior that he felt, that Jocko felt needed to be corrected. Is that, the way you describe the episode?
Yeah, and ultimately it didn't work out, but still, it's a good letter, and there's good tenets to live by in there.
What do you mean it didn't work out? You mean the guy?
Because he mentioned the guy got fired ultimately with his in his command post, and I'm not sure how that worked. If you get kicked out of the military, or you just get demoted.
I think they said that he got fired, so I assume that's getting kicked out. But so let's go over some of the things that he talks about, which is interesting to hear. It worded this way. It was for me. So he's talking about any form of getting people to do a certain thing. So leadership is getting people to do things. This is a form of manipulation. When you're influencing someone, you are manipulating them for a positive outcome. And I really liked how he broke down the fact that the word manipulation has a negative connotation. But it's not necessarily always a negative thing. As long as you're manipulating somebody for a positive outcome, it's the same thing. You can use that word interchangeably with influence, even though the connotation is different. But he brings up to the guy, he's like, every time we open our mouths to speak to another person, our goal is to get them to do what we want them to do. Otherwise, why the hell are we talking? Everything you say, the tone, inflection, etc., are tools to be used in getting your way, are tools you misuse and move away from your goals. So I personally agree with that sentiment. I think if you read that sentence, though, to just a random sampling of people, they would feel that's a negative thing.
Why what do you think? Because of the word choices?
Well, is it the word choices? He's talking about how it is. If you're having a communication, especially in a work environment, somebody, right? And in this case, a subordinate, you're trying to lead them the reason you're talking to them, the reason you're opening your mouth is to get them to do what we want them to do. Now, persuasion, influence, manipulation, to me, this seems like an obvious fact of reality. But I think a lot of people, it's hidden. It's one lower level than most people observe. Does that make any kind of sense?
It makes the one lower level I would like you to flesh out a little bit. What do you mean by lower level?
I feel like a lot of people don't realize that they're constantly under influence. In fact, anytime you direct your attention from at certain things, that is influencing you. And the person that now has that attention can persuade you to do things they want you to do.
Yeah. So you're assuming that the audience or the receiver of the communication has a self-awareness that they're receiving an influence.
No, I'm saying they don't. I'm saying that Jocko clearly is demonstrating that he does. So let's give something, an example from current events. One of my friends texted me. He asked me what I thought of this whole deal with Colin Kaepernick and Nike. And my response was I don't think about it at all. Because I don't see it and some of my friends were upset for some reason. Some of my friends bought more. It's not even my friends. Let's just talk about people. There's people that are burning their Nike stuff, and then on the other end, people buying more. And to me, you can't let those things influence you because that's obvious. Yeah. Is a giant multi-billion-dollar corporation doing something out of the goodness of their heart? Of course not.
No, it's a calculated choice. Yeah,
that's my point. When he's saying every time we open our mouths to speak to another person, our goal is to get them to do what we want them to do. Otherwise, why the hell are we talking? That to me is again. A reality of life. Most people, based on just that Nike example, they're persuaded one way or the other. They're either enraged or they're excited. And my point is you should have no reaction.
Yeah.
Because you're just being manipulated. That's how humans interact with one another. We're in a social environment. I don't mean the manipulated word as a negative connotation. I just think that's a really, if you take away one thing from this podcast, the Jocko podcast number 5, it's that. His the first, you're talking about this happens at 4 and 5 minutes in, and then he goes on past a little bit, the 6 minute mark. This description of manipulation as a form of influence and changing other people's behavior, I just think is something you should study because it's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we should definitely be self-aware on how we're influenced by, like, manipulation is a powerful world, right?
Okay, so anyways, we don't have to belabor this point. I thought the next idea, and just jump in here with anything that you want to talk about too, but the next one is don't burn bridges.
Oh, I love
it. Nothing is ever gained by this. The future is not known. Do what you can to keep lines of communication open and bridges intact. And the context of that is the guy that Jocko was trying to like correct you to deliver these corrective measures to, he's very like emotional. And like I've dealt with this growing up in like my family, like I have a family of hotheads. And we realize about people that are really quick to anger, it's like quick to anger, slow to thought. And yeah, they're constantly being directed by their emotions, even if the emotions is causing them to act in a manner in which is not, it's like hurting them. So in this case, this guy's pissed. I don't know the exact details, but you know, instead of building a relationship, he basically just burns the bridges. And like, that's just what I've learned from Jocko, is like, that's just all ego and emotion. And if you're going to run your life by ego and emotion, you're going to have a really hard time at this.
You know what comes to mind for me?
Go ahead.
Is let's say you have a job that you've just been dying to quit, and it's been a negative relationship, it's been a horrible time for you, and you just want to leave. And like, you obviously heard like, oh, I'm gonna bring in a marching band on my last day, or like some other shit, or I'm gonna tell this person off on my last day. But you know, one of the best advice you could probably do is just work harder those last 2 weeks, because why burn the bridge? There's no reason to burn the bridge, because eventually that's going to be a resource for you in future employment.
That's a good specific example, because everybody can understand that. Listen, you know, let's say you leave for a better opportunity, give your job, you don't burn that bridge. There's some people I know that just never showed up again, or whatever the case is. Like, again, it's when you're doing those kind of actions, I like how Jocko tied the idea of like the future is unknown. They're doing that at that time because, oh, they're like, oh, what's the big deal? There's no downside. But you don't know if there's a downside. You might need that. Like you said, now you don't have the reference. That's gone. What if things don't work at your new job 6 months later? You might be able to go back to work for the person you're just working, or maybe they can reference you. I know a bunch of my friends have found jobs through they had a manager they worked under a decade and a half ago, and they check in with them every time because they have a good relationship, every time they're looking for new employment. And even if that person can't employ them, they will always turn them on to somebody that can.
That's just a
really good idea. And then on a personal level, it's just something I tried. Like, when's the last time you burned a bridge in a personal relationship? I'm not talking about like let's talk friendships and not include women in there, because that's there might be a good reason to burn that bridge.
Oh yeah, there's a Mongol trail of just bones on that. But now, when you say burn a bridge with a friend, like you openly go to that person and just say, you know what, we're done. Or because I Irish goodbye people, like when we talk.
What
about
does that mean?
It means like you leave without saying goodbye, like you just bounce. Rather than like
what do you mean? Like you just, you say, hey, I'm not cool with this guy. Just let it slowly drift apart.
Not slowly. We had conversations in, earlier this year where it was just like, you know, I'm cutting these people out. So that's what I did. But I don't consider that burning bridges, because if I seen him, I would still be like, hey, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. How you doing? Small talk. But when I consider what you're saying, burning bridges, I'm saying like, am I going to a person and say, hey, we're done, go fuck yourself? or am I just kind of Irish goodbye? Because I don't think that is that's more of ignoring bad influence or whatever, just rather than, hey, we're done. Like, I don't need that. I don't know. Like, I don't think I've done that. If that's what you're asking, I don't think I've gone to anybody and said, you know what, fuck you. And just that's it. we're done. I don't. Is that what you mean?
These
right?
Voices.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. They just pop up.
So, yeah. No, because I was trying to think. I was like, do I burn any bridges? And really, I try not to.
Like, there's a difference between burning a bridge and not allowing people consent into your lives. Because that's what I've ultimately done more of. I don't have a good example of burning a bridge. I really don't. I've certainly done it for girls, but Never like a personal relationship. I've just ghosted it.
So moving on, I love his other point about 13 minutes in the podcast. He's like, if I'm wrong, I look forward to admitting it because it gives me the opportunity to advertise I am humble and open-minded.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
Why?
Because it just seems like you don't want to go through life being wrong. Like if you're corrected, like my uncle gave me good advice. He's like, when you're wrong and you're corrected, don't get upset. Say thank you. And that was like some of the genesis of me being a better person, right? Like these little aphorisms that you gather in your life, that this is one of them. Like, hey, if you're wrong, there's nothing wrong with being corrected. You now have correct information. Say thank you and move forward. I mean, yeah, you can hop and jump around with like wrong, like spewing out wrong information. Like if you're corrected, it's a good thing. Like you, like this is not.
I don't have too much time, so I don't want to. We got to go over these points fast. So the next one that I thought was really interesting was
lightning round.
That it has to be. what he's talking about with wanting to admit that you're open-minded, I think goes with something he talks about 40 minutes into the podcast, and it says, if you're not humble, how can you look at yourself and say that I need to do stuff better? How can you look at your team and say we need to get better? How can you look at your enemy and say I better respect them?
Yeah, I love that. That was number one too. Like it's so good. Like if you're not humble, how the fuck? Excuse me, I'm trying not to curse, but like how could you look inwards? Like how? Like it's all about looking inwards. Because if you don't, like you know, obviously you've heard, if you don't love yourself, how can you love others? If you don't manage yourself, how can you manage others? Like if you're not humble, how could you look at anything else humbly and respect other things? Like it's huge.
Yeah, and I think there's an important distinction to make here. Like you can show a humbleness and humility, which I think is demonstrated by the desire, what he's talking about. Like you have to want to make your, like look at yourself and improve the areas that you want to improve, right? And then more importantly, like look to other, to learn from other people. Like that's a sign of humility. But that doesn't mean you don't have a high level of self-confidence. Like Jocko has a sense of humility, right? He's always constantly learning and trying to improve, but he's definitely self-confident.
Yeah.
I just want to like make sure that people understand those things are definitely not mutually exclusive. Another thing I jumped over though, because I thought those two ideas came together. This is something that we just talked about, and it's something that I have definitely wanted to emulate and be less emotional and less ruled by my emotions. And he's like, he's talking to the guy in the letter. He's like, listen, you cannot mask your emotions, and you don't understand the ramifications of that shortfall. The eye roll, the heavy sigh, the crossed arms. It was like an open book when you saw this guy, and he had no idea it was so obvious. That is, I just bring that up because, again, like I said before, like it was very common for my family when I was growing up to be like hot-headed. I took some of that hot-headedness into like being younger, and it's something where I just try to have just mellow out and have no reaction and no emotional reaction, because I know that if I'm emotional, first of all, you're reading, like you're able to read that on me, which could give you some kind of advantage, you know? But second of all, it's like, you're going to make a bad decision. And something like I read in the Henry Ford biography, which I loved, was he talked about like, it doesn't matter how you feel. And he's writing these words in 1900. Like he was just saying men at the time, because I think everybody worked for him. He's like, men should not, like the quality of a man's work should have nothing to do with how he feels. And so my own spin on that is Henry Ford saying, fuck your feelings. They're not important. And that's the biggest thing. Like when you're upset about something or something's going wrong, like you're making your own inability to manage your emotions somebody else's problem. When you understand that your emotions are only important to you and maybe like some people you're close to, but the average person doesn't care how you feel. They don't care that you're offended. That is your problem. And so like you should deal with that internally.
100%. Let me ask you something. How do you keep these sharp? Because there's times where I'll get into an argument and I'll kind of lose, like you'll get into that emotional realm. Like it's really hard to pull yourself out of that emotional realm. Even
this like, just happened to me. So one, you shouldn't be getting into arguments, because what did we learn from Jocko last week and the week before? Like, I don't care where your opinion is. I'm just sharing ideas. Like, I'm not going to debate you. It's basically what he was saying. This happened to me. We were having this, like, it was a group of four guys hanging out. I was about to leave anyways because I had to go to dinner with my wife. But right before this, one of my, the most, you know who this is. I'm not going to say his name, but he's the most argumentative friend of mine because that's what he does for a living. It's like, it's unbelievably frustrating sometimes, but we just had the, I was just like, listen, you know, I was providing a suggestion on how to eliminate randomness in this tournament we're having, right? And I'm like, well, if you reduce the number of variables from 4 to 2, that reduces the complexity and the chaos. So like over a long enough sample size, like you might actually be able to have more of a determination of skill. And he just went off. He's like, no, that doesn't even make sense. You can't prove that it's skill. And I'm just like, okay. And I just repeated. I was like, okay, well, you know, do you agree that there's less complexity with 2 variables than 4? And then it's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. And it just went on. And then I said it again. And I was like, all right, I got to go. And I literally shook hands, everybody, and left. And I was just like, I can't. Like, he was getting really emotional for some reason. And we weren't like, I was able to remain calm. But, you know, he started raising his voice. He wanted to take a vote on who was right. And I'm just like, you don't understand. Like, I can't. If you don't understand that there's less complexity with 2 variables than 4, I can't explain that to you any other than just repeating it.
But was that agreed?
And I, what's that?
That was agreed that 4 is more complex than 2. Was that agreed upon?
I don't think, like, I don't even know. Like, so my whole point was just like, in past times, I'd be like, infurious. And now I just like, I swear I thought of what Jocko said. Like, I'm just here sharing my opinion. I'm not trying to convert anybody. I don't care if you agree with me or not. So and that is very freeing, man.
Yeah, so that's how you stayed grounded and stayed level, is you kept thinking, like, it's just a sharing information, and it's that's it.
Yeah, that's really it. So I'm not, okay. I'm just not going to debate with anybody, you know, about, I just don't see the point of debate, because most people, you know, they're not, it's not like they actually change their mind through that. I love this. If you want to learn, like, his description of how he wrote his books. And he's like, as a tip for writing, I wrote 1,000 words a day no matter what. It takes about an hour. I ended up writing 55,000 words in 55 days. And then he talks about, if you write every day, you remember your train of thought. You don't have to go back and reread and edit. And he was talking about that, giving advice, wherein, like, there's one answer to all of your problems. You have writer's block? Good. Go write. You're too tired to go to the gym? Good. Go to the gym. And he's like, you can apply this to everything. And yeah, I think about that constantly, where, yeah, my I just took my daughter to a birthday. Me and my wife took her to a birthday party this past weekend. And she brought home like a big bag of candy because, you know, they have pinatas and all this other stuff. They're young. And, you know, I have this big bag of sugar coated lies sitting on my on my counter, and I pass it all the time. And then I think of Jocko. It's like, oh, you want to clean up your diet? Don't put bad shit in your mouth. Like, it's not that difficult. Stop eating crappy food. Yeah. You have control over that. Yeah. So I just looked at it, and we had like if it had eyeballs, we had like an eyeball, like a standoff, like an intense staring competition. I'm not putting you in my mouth. So like, that's just, and I didn't put it in my mouth.
So you're just sitting there staring at the candy saying you're not going in my mouth.
Yeah, I wouldn't verbalize that. I don't think I did. I hope.
So
I didn't.
How badly did you want the candy? Like, you're just like, no.
No, you know, it's like, not there was like Reese, I really like peanut butter and chocolate, and like there's a Reese cup just looking, standing right at me. It's like, it just doesn't matter, you know. If you like this idea of us treating Jocko's podcast as a military history course and listening to everyone in sequential order and talking about what we learned, you can help us by giving a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. It actually helps out a lot.
Boom.
All right, Rob. We will talk very soon for Jocko number 6.
Later, my man.